Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Pitti Engineering's Q4 FY23 and full year FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Joining us today are Mr. Akshay S. Pitti, VC MD, along with the senior management team of the company. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. For a list of such considerations, please refer to the earnings presentation. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Akshay Pitti. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening and welcome to our Q4 FY23 and full year FY23 earnings call. We hope you had a chance to review our results, a copy of which is also available on our website. I would also touch upon the financial and operational performance of the company and then open the floor for a Q&A session. This quarter, our revenue from operations stood at 247.51 crores compared to 271.39 crores on a year-over-year basis, down by  8.8%. However, the sales volume has increased by 10.92% to 9,591 tons from 8,647 metric tons. Capacity utilization during the quarter was 74.14%. Blended EBITDA per ton stood at 42,290 rupees compared to 40,898 rupees, up by 3.4%. During Q4 FY23, we have reported an EBITDA of 40.56 crores compared to 35.37 crores, increased by 14.67% on a YOY basis. We have recorded net profit of 24.83 crores compared to 19.79 crores, up by 25.47% on a YOY basis. We have accounted for 14.76 crore incentives in FY23. The further approvals are under process with state government, which are expected to be received in the first half of FY24. For FY23, revenues were 1,100.17 crores compared to 953.82 crores, a growth of 15.34%. Reported EBITDA of 151.39 crores compared to 132.63 crores, increased by 14.15%. Company has recorded a net profit of 58.83 crores compared to 51.89 crores. Our cash accruals stood at 103.48 crores. Capacity utilization for the year was 71.32%. Net debt has declined from 290 crores to 225 crores. Consequently, the net debt to equity stands at 0.67. Board of directors have recommended a final dividend of 1.2 rupees per share, total dividend amounting to 2.70 per share, including the interim dividend. Expansion-related work is on track, and we shall start installing the machines in third quarter. We expect to complete it by year-end. Overall demand outlook for FY24 continues to remain strong, led by key segments like railway and power generation. New business opportunities in pumped hydro and automotive will start contributing meaningfully from this year onwards. Our order book and forecast stand at 823 crores. For the year, sales volume was 36,297 metric tons. Looking at the demand outlook for FY22, we expect to deliver 42,000 metric tons of sales during the current year. We have also provided an investor presentation with detailed performance report for your perusal. I now open the floor for the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Rabindranath Nayak from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, am I audible?
Yes, you're audible.
Low, but you're audible, yes.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. Actually, there is an observation I see from your the current reported numbers. So if we incremental volume we have done in FY23 as compared to the incremental EBITDA we have generated in FY23. Because if I understand correctly, we have done our significant value addition journey from FY21-22. Am I right, sir?
I'm not able to understand very clearly what you're trying to say. Your voice is not very clear.
Incremental EBITDA for incremental tonnage we have delivered. In FY22, it was an incremental EBITDA to incremental tonnage around 52,000 rupees, 555 rupees. But this year, FY23, it has declined to 43,180. So how we should look at it, incremental value addition going ahead, what we can attributable to this decline, if at all, we should look at this factor seriously going ahead. If it is a measure to see the value addition the company is doing.
Are you saying that the EBITDA per metric ton has gone down from FY22?
Incremental EBITDA. I'm just explaining again. So we have done around total tonnage around 36,297 tons in the total sales in FY23 as compared to 31,945 tons in FY22. So the incrementally we have done around 4,351 tons of delivery in FY23. But the incremental EBITDA in FY22 was 545 crores, and without considering the other income, and incremental EBITDA in FY23 was around 187.6 crores. So if I divide these two, I am getting a number of 52,555 rupees in FY22, and I am getting a number in FY23, 43,118 rupees per ton in FY23. So I am just giving an indication whether we should look at this factor for looking at how the company is doing the value addition going ahead, or whether we should not look at this factor. If at all we are looking at, then what is an attribution?
See, the incremental EBITDA per ton will be also coming from the machining business, the machine components business, because you're dividing the cumulative EBITDA by the tonnage. So the incremental EBITDA is not only accruing from the sheet metal part of the business.
Okay.
It's a blended of both verticals.
Okay.
So it's not just that the value-added laminations or assembled laminations will increase the EBITDA per ton. It will also increase the EBITDA per ton. But machining, because you're doing that machining on the same tonnage, or you're doing a machine component. Hello? Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. And because you're doing the machine components, which is not related to the sheet metal tonnage, those are child parts or co-products which go along with the sheet metal product, that will cause for a higher EBITDA per ton.
Okay. So just tell me now, what is the total on the threat? What is the total volume we can do in FY24, and what kind of EBITDA pattern we are looking at? Because we have increased our machining hours in FY23 from total 4,33,000 to around 4,60,000. So how we are looking at for the value addition in FY24.
See, in terms of sheet metal tonnage, as I mentioned, the target is about 42,000 metric tons for FY24. In terms of machining, we'll continue to add the machining capacity as per our CapEx plan. And the EBITDA per ton due to both of these should track towards 42, say 45 by the year end. That is the expectation.
42,000.
Currently, it's hovering around 42,000 per metric ton. If you see quarter four, it's 42,000 some rupees per metric ton. From here, we expect it to grow quarter on quarter and eventually settle somewhere around 45,000 at full utilization.
Okay. Secondly, you know, in the sector-wise exposure, you have given around 33% is coming from railways. Can you please give some outlook on this segment going ahead? And another thing, interesting thing that I observed that in FY23, appliances and industrial and commercial motors witnessed a decline in revenue. So it's with the presentation, I'm just comparing the previous year's numbers with the current year numbers. So muted customer demand from the appliances and durables are quite understandable that the appliances sector might not have done well. But if we see the industrial motor segment, your major clients particularly, they have done well in FY23. So why there is a decline in industrial motor segment, whether the clients are internalizing or we are losing some market share, anything you can explain better on this. Thank you.
So if you see on a quarter, year-on-year basis for Q4, although the sales volume is up by 10%, the revenue is down by 8%. This is on account of decline in steel prices. Okay. As you know, we have a price variation clause with our customers wherein any increase or decrease in steel cost is passed on to them. So the quantity of sales to the industrial and commercial segment of our business has not declined. It has remained constant. In fact, it has grown modestly. But in rupee terms, it shows a decline.
Okay. That means the other segment is also similar kind of things have happened in other segments. So.
Yes. In the other segments, the volume has grown exponentially. And also the value-added products such as machine parts goes into those segments, mainly the railways and the special purpose motors and the power generation renewables.
Okay. And regarding the working capital, congratulations, you have done a very good job in the working capital. Thing is that, but one thing I observed that there is a significant reduction in the debt days and also the inventory days that you have highlighted in the past calls also that it is in a targeted level where you have brought it down. That is quite commendable. But if you see the payable days has increased substantially. Can you please give some sustainability of this working capital, whether there is any further scope of reduction of working capital is there, if you can say throw some light on that?
No, further scope on the cumulative working capital days will not be possible. This data we have taken on one particular date. The right way to look at this is the average working capital days during the year. On an average basis, we feel that about 75 days is a good number in our industry, looking at the client credit requirement as well as the procurement requirements.
Okay. So this payable days, high payable days is quite, is maintainable, or we can expect similar kind of trend going ahead, or it is going to come down?
You can expect the same payable days going forward and the same kind of debtor days going forward.
Okay. And sir, what is the CapEx for this year? Total CapEx we have done in FY23, and what is the budget for FY24?
Just one second. So the capital expenditure incurred during FY23 is 103 crores, 103 crores. And the remaining CapEx which has to be expended in the current financial year is about 190 crores.
Okay, 190.
That includes pre-operative expenses as well.
Okay. And sir, regarding this, your view on this merger of PT Casting going ahead, if you can give some, the performance of PT Casting in FY23, if I'm not wrong, it was having around the turnover of 137 crores in FY22. Yes. What is the turnover for FY23, and whether it is remain profitable in this year or it is still not profitable?
I'm sorry, I'm not in a position to comment on that particular thing.
Okay. And lastly, one number I want to know, what is the gross sales for this year, including GST, for FY23?
Gross sales, just one second. ₹1,240 crores.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bala Subramanian from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for taking my question, sir. Sir, I want to understand segment-wise where we are witnessing stronger, higher demand and where we are lacking. Especially in FY23, on the full year basis, we have witnessed strong growth in traction motor and railway components and mining on oil and gas and renewable energy side. So if you could throw some more light on that segment-wise, end-user application-wise, where we are witnessing more tractions, that would be really helpful, sir.
The traction motor and railway component business will again continue to outperform in the current year in terms of growth. The other place that we see good growth coming, just one second. The other place that we see good growth continuing is power generation and renewable energy.
Sir, like we are targeting around 42,000 tons per annum by FY, so 42,000 tons in FY24. What would be that assembled and value added mix? We may expect 75% or it's more than that?
No, in the current year, as the power generation business is going to grow significantly, the mix might change unfavorably a little bit. So we can expect that the assembled business should be about 33,000-34,000 tons and the loose business will be the remaining.
Okay, sir. On the capex side, that 72,000 tons per annum, so if you could share phase-wise, whether the construction part is done, like when is the machine is expected to come?
Construction is ongoing, both in Hyderabad and Aurangabad, and the equipments are also en route. We expect to start the installation of machines in quarter three, and the completion of that would be very quick once the machines are installed.
Okay, sir. So this incremental addition in capacity, may expect on blended basis around 60% capacity utilization or lower than that?
See, for the current year, I've already mentioned that our target is about 42,000 tons, and the capacity utilization will be on the capacity available on the basis of number of days per for the whole year. For next financial year, we are targeting in the vicinity of 50,000, so that should take us to about 60% on a blended basis, on the expanded basis.
Okay, got it, sir.
And in our industry, the typical thumb rule is that beyond 80% you become inefficient because the capacity is on a 365 days, three shift basis. Typically, you operate about 6 days a week to preserve the machine and carry out the relevant preventive maintenances.
Okay, sir. Sir, and that 190 crore capex for FY24, how much for this incremental capacity and how much for maintenance capex?
Majority of it entirely is towards the incremental capacity in machining as well as lamination.
Okay. So earlier we talked about around 190 crore capex for modernizing the plant in Hyderabad. That capex, when it's expected to come?
This is part of this.
Okay, sir. Okay.
It is part of this. Modernizing the Hyderabad related lamination facility and moving it to Aurangabad and freeing up the space in Hyderabad for the increased machining capacity is all part of this.
Okay, sir.
After this, we'll be taking a pause on CapEx.
Okay, sir. Okay, got it. Sir, on that export side, which are the countries contributes higher portion of revenue, or which are the segments we are getting more orders?
So North and South America are the two leading regions for us in terms of geographies. They would contribute more than 75-80% of total exports. The remaining 20% goes to Central Asia, countries like Kazakhstan, Egypt, South Africa, among others.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. So on the debt side, if you could share any further debt price are expected, or are you planning for any QIPs?
I can't comment on that right now.
The
on the QIP, On the QIP, I can't comment. On the debt side, we don't see that the net debt should rise significantly despite the ongoing CapEx. The current year's cash generations and the CapEx should more or less take care of each other. So you should see only a modest rise in net debt at the end of this CapEx cycle. After that, we see it going down significantly over the next 2 years.
Okay, sir, got it. Sir, we have order book of around 823 crore. How much is executable in short term and how much percentage into long term? And right now, we are expanding the capacity. Like whether we can able to get an order of about 1,000 to 1,500 crores in that range once the capacity comes into the place.
See, firstly, out of the total order book, about 200 crores is executable beyond 1 year. The remaining is executable within the next 12 months. In terms of order book going forward, once the capacity is installed, in our industry, the orders are released on a shorter cycle. They give you forecast for business, which is more long-term, as the price has to change every quarter depending on the steel prices. So nobody actually releases POs beyond 2 quarters, typically.
So the order period is 2 to 3 months in that range, sir? Execution?
Yes. Order books are typically not more than 6 months. So if you have to take longer lead time orders, such as power generation, or railways, or exports, or wind turbines, where you have longer term orders with the price fixed. There, the order cycle will be probably 6 to 9 months, in a good case, about a year. All other segments of the business, since the PVC is going to happen very frequently on a quarterly basis, like I had mentioned, the orders are released only once every quarter, and nobody would want to change the PO prices upwards or downwards.
Okay, sir. Okay, got it. So, like some of
even
the players
for the expanded
are
expanded capacity. What I was trying to get to after explaining this is that even for the expanded capacity, we are doing it on basis of a forecasted order, LOI, or discussion with the customer on their requirements over the next 2 years.
Okay.
So, a bulk of that expanded capacity which is going to come in is in a sense tied up with the business.
Okay, sir. Okay. Sir, what would be the top 5 clients revenue mix in this year?
Top 5 clients? Top 5 clients would account for about 60% of revenue.
So which is which clients are contributing more, sir? Is Siemens also coming up with new orders, 9000 HP? So are we getting any orders from them?
So the Siemens order is still in design and development stage. As it progresses, we are quite confident that we should be getting that order. Right now, they are still in design and development phase.
Okay, sir. Okay, got it. This is my last question. Some of the players are coming up with traction motor capacity. Like, how do you see the competition right now in the railway side?
So we are very happy that everyone's coming up with their traction motor capacities. They are all going to be potential customers for us. So if you talk of Titagarh Wagon, or if you talk of Medha or Alstom, Saini, all of those players, we are already in discussions to supply our products to them.
Oh, that's great, sir. Thank you so much, sir. That's so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from Yashika Pancholi from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Question.
Yashika, your voice is breaking. May I request you come in network area?
Yeah, I'll do it. Hello?
Hello? Your voice is not clear.
Voice is still breaking, ma'am. Can I request you to come in network area? Or maybe you see handset if you're using a earphone?
You can go ahead and join and back.
Sure, thank you. In the meanwhile, we'll move to the next question. That is from Naisar Parikh from Native Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My question is, for the new CAPEX, can you just talk about, one, what is the revenue potential from that plant, and the EBITDA per ton in that plant also going to be similar to what we have, or Is there a potential where we can do more value and the EBITDA per ton could be higher?
So this is a brownfield expansion. So the plant and the location will remain the same. As far as the kind of facilities we are putting up, they are highly automated facilities which we are planning to put up right now. So your overhead cost and direct labor cost should be significantly lower than the current cost per ton. In terms of expected revenue, the way I would like to phrase it is that if you take it on a constant steel price basis, at Q4 constant steel price basis, it has a potential for about 1,800 crores of top line.
Understood. Got it. And sorry, I missed that, but does it come into, when do you start, when can you start this plant?
So the commercial production should start in Q4.
Got it. And my next question was on the order book. You know, the order book is, you know, was around 1,100 crores end of last year. I think this year we are around 800 crores. So, you know, one, what do you think is, you know, causing that decline? And secondly, you know, given we are projecting a growth here on, how do we kind of, you know, ramp up on that order book?
See, if you take the order book on the order cycle in our industry, barring a few end user segments such as exports, large power generation and windmills, typically the order cycle is for a 3-month basis because we have a quarterly price variation clause with our customer, and once a PO is placed, you really can't change the pricing. So the firm orders that we have in hand are typically 3 months for the different segments. For the export and the segments which I mentioned, you have about 6 to 9 months of orders. In a good case, maybe 1 year order. Apart from that, you have the long-term order book, which was very unusual in our business as a practice, which we had received from Wabtec for their supplies to Indian Railways. So the long-term order book is getting depleted as the contract runs down. So that is one of the reasons for the overall order book to come down. And the second is because we have to reinstate the volumes on the new pricing of all the orders that we have. So as the steel prices have declined significantly in the last 1 year, so has the order book been restated.
Got it. So can you give a sense of in volume terms, you know, what would be the order book last year and this year, roughly?
So at the beginning of last year, ballpark, the order book would have been, I don't have the figure in front of me, but would have been in the vicinity of about 28,000-29,000 tons. The current order book is in the vicinity of about 32,000 tons approximately.
Got it. And this is after the depletion of the railway order book, right?
Yes.
So railway order last year would be roughly how much?
That would have been around 275.
Got it. Okay.
Which is about 200 right now.
Understood. Just in terms of our order book now and, you know, the next year, how do we see the mix between, you know, export and domestic? And, you know, are you seeing any impact of any, you know, slowdown in your export order book?
Actually, no. In fact, quite the contrary. The export order book is booming. We've never seen this kind of buoyancy in our exports in the recent past, probably in the last 10 years. The majority of our exports go towards North and South American railways as well as mining. So both of those segments in those regions are undergoing transformation, modernization, and upgradation. So for the next few years, we see quite strong order flows from our export clients.
Sir, you said your export goes mainly into what?
Mainly for railways, North and South American railways, freight rail, predominantly freight rail. So the entire segment over there is undergoing modernization and upgradation.
Right.
So for the next few years, we have very strong visibility of growth from our clients.
Got it. And what would the mix for export and domestic be similar to this year, or is that changing?
I think for the year FY24, the mix between export and domestic will remain constant. Earlier, we had expected that exports would shrink as a percentage because domestic would outgrow exports. But today, I think exports is kind of keeping up with domestic.
Got it. And the margins are broadly similar between the two, between export and domestic?
The margins are similar because the margins are based on the type of product and the level of value add that you supply. But in the export order content, the value add is very, very high, and the products are more machined, or there are more machined components in the export side. Therefore, export contributes disproportionately to the profitability.
Got it. Got it. And just last question, in terms of your the sectors on the domestic side, right? Which sectors are increasing? Are you seeing more traction going forward, and especially on something on the renewable energy side, solar, wind, etc.? Are you seeing more traction there? Do we have more clients there? Is that something that is our focus area?
So power generation, including renewables, as well as traction motor railway components, those are the two segments that are growing exponentially when compared to the other businesses.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Got it. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kaushal Kedia from Wallfort PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi. I'm sorry I joined a little late. Akshay, I just want one clarification. You said 1,800 crores of top line can be achieved just from the new plant, or full capacity?
Full capacity.
Full capacity, you can do 1,800. And this is 80% or this is 100%?
80%.
Because it's difficult for us to go to above 90, right? In our industries, we can't, I'm just understanding, we can't go above 90.
See, you can do for a short burst if it's really, if push comes to shove. But if you continue doing that, if you go beyond 80, 85, 90, then you're kind of degrading the machine life because you're not providing the requisite maintenance to it.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
We do it in the crunch when we don't have capacity and the orders have to be executed. But in a normal circumstance, we would not ever like to do that.
So, Akshay, just broadly, I want to understand on the industry, capital goods is on a high growth trajectory for the next few years because of the capex announced by the government. So, how do you think we can take benefit of that and we can become, we can take the company to the next level, say like a 2,500, 3,000 crore kind of top line? So when do you think that is possible? If I was just to ask you to take a guess with the factors that are in control right now or are visible right now.
See, more than the top
just
line,
ask you,
more than the top line, we would like to, think of it in terms of machine hours sold and tonnage sold, because top line can be quite misleading due to the steel pricing. So right now, if you see, we are expanding our capacity to about 72,000 tons, 80% of which is about 58,000 tons of utilizable capacity. Based on the order visibility that we have by FY25 or maybe by FY26, definitely that should be completely sold out. In terms of machining, we are quite more confident there. We are expanding to 6.5 lakh machine hours. We see that capacity should be fully utilized by middle of FY25 itself. So we should be looking at a higher growth trajectory in the machine components business, as that is, and also that's far more profitable. So that is a segment that you'd like to grow more than the other segment.
Thank you. We will move to the next question that is from the line of Arafat Syed. Yes,
hello.
Sir. Hello.
Am I audible? I think I've lost the connection between.
No, you're audible, sir.
Okay.
All right, thank you. The next question is from Arafat Syed from InCred. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yes, I'm audible.
Yes, you're audible.
Yeah. So my question is on Vande Bharat trains. So how is that order book is picking up?
Vande Bharat is picking up quite well. We are supplying the laminations to the Medha Servo Drive, which is the one who's currently supplying the Vande Bharat train sets. We are also in the final stages of approval to supply various machine components for the same.
Okay.
Apart from Medha, the orders have gone to multiple more players now, I think totally about six, seven of them now. And we are engaged with almost every one of them for supply of components. They are still in their proto and development stage. The
Okay.
commercial supply is only coming from Medha Servo as of now to Indian Railways.
Okay, so what is the size of order that you'll be supplying to them?
See, one second, correct me if I'm wrong. About 32 motors are required in one Vande Bharat train set, as it's about 64
Correct.
coaches and half of them are powered. So about 32 motors would be required. Each motor has about half a ton of lamination. So per train set works out about 16 tons of lamination.
Okay.
Apart from that, it also has a whole variety of machine components, both for the bogies as well as the undercarriage parts. There we are right now getting ourselves approved not only with Medha but with ICF and Indian Railways as well. So once those parts are approved and come into commercial production, we should see significant growth from the machine components business side.
Okay. So what is your scope of work in the entire Vande Bharat ecosystem?
So we make the laminations for the motors, which I told you, which works out about 16 to 18 tons per train set approximately. And then there's a whole bunch of machine castings, fabricated parts where we are now getting approved. So we'll start supplying those. The point is that whether Medha makes it or anyone else makes it, the machine components are required by all. And I believe that that's a uniform ICF design which goes for all vendors together. It's just the electrical system which changes depending on the vendor. With the other vendors other than Medha, we are also in process of developing their parts. They are in proto stage, some are in development stage. So once that starts and they start supplying, our business will further increase.
Okay. And so next on windmill business, so what is scope in the entire windmill business for you?
So in the windmill business, we make the generator parts. So the rotor and the stator for the generator is what we manufacture. In the rotor, we also do the shaft of the rotor, which is fixed into the rotor and supplied to the end customer. We typically do up to 3.2 megawatt size turbines as of now for our customers, which is Siemens Gamesa. As they progress to the next range, we'll also graduate with them. For us, the product does not change much. For them, it changes considerably because the tower and the fan and the blades, they will go a dynamic shift. Our product does not change as much as you go up in size. And apart from the generator-related components, we also do some machine components which are called pedestals, which kind of keep the fan rotor and the generator rotor in line, aligned properly. So we make those machine components as well.
And so lastly, on your hydro pump business, so any orders lined up there?
Pumped hydro, you mean?
Yeah.
So in the pumped hydro, there are two projects going on in the country. One is with Greenko and one is with JSW, I believe. Our end customer is Andritz. They are supplying the what they call as pump and generating sets. They are like a motor and a generator. It's reversible motor to them for their pumped hydro project.
Okay. And sir, lastly, if I may, so basically just want to understand any product you're supplying for EV?
EV-related products, both for two-wheelers, four-wheelers, and three-wheelers, some of them are in commercial supply with a couple of our customers. The rest are in development phase. To keep that development phase going, we are also engaging with them to focus on the legacy combustion engine-related lamination so that our relationship gets stronger with our end customers.
So basically, what do you think about this business? Can this business
Sorry, your
grow?
voice was a little muffled.
Yeah. I'm asking how much growth you expect in this EV business? Can it multiply by at least, let's say, 5x in next couple of 2 to 3 years? Because base is low, right?
the base is so low that it should be far more than 5x. I mean, today, hardly any of the customers are making their motors in India. Most of it is import. As they start localizing it, the base effect would be what? I think in the last full year, we have done about 6-7 crores of total revenue for automotive, of which electric vehicle would be probably about 1 crore or 2 crores. So from there, it will be far more than 5x growth. So one order conversion would contribute at least 25-30 crores of revenue. So two would do like double of that. So the base is so low that is maybe like 20x-30x.
Okay, so you mean this business can do at least, let's say, 20-30-40 crore business in next 5 years?
Per year, yes.
Okay, okay, fine, fine. Thank you. That is from my side.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Sanjeev Zarbade with Dream Ladder Investment Advisory. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thanks for taking my question.
Yes.
Sir, it was regarding our trend in borrowing. So for the last, I think every year for the last 5-6 years, the debt has continued to go up. But if you compare it with other capital goods companies, most of them are debt free. So how do we, how should we look at your company in this sector? How will the trend for the debt, you know, move in the coming 4-5 years?
See, in the last 1.5 years, we've considerably reduced our net debt. I think from its peak of 335 crores, we are down to about 225 crores. For the next year, I think it should remain flattish as we are in the middle of our capex cycle. After that, we should see it going down significantly.
Okay. Okay, sir. That's it from my side and all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Yashika Pancholi with Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Am I audible now?
Yeah, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Okay, sir. I have three questions. The first, I may have missed out something because I dropped out. Sir, if you could just, in three major points, if you could sum up the big opportunities in the coming 2 to 3 years for Pitti Engineering, in just three of them, the three big ones.
See, first would be the machine components business. Now,
okay.
The machine component business would touch probably most of our end user segments in one way or the other. In machine components, you have fabricated parts, you have casted parts which are machined, the shafts that we have machining for the motors. So, you know, whether the business is related to motors or not, machine components, we can still, you know, serve a customer where there's no motor requirement. So the vertical that we are creating on machine components is something which is very exciting.
Okay, sir.
The second one would be the growth in and modernization of railways, not just in India, but in North America. I think that's a very exciting opportunity with Vande Bharat trains, with the modernization of freight loco. So that should, you know, keep giving us good orders for the next 5 to 10 years.
Okay. So if you could quantify it, if just an approximately, if you could quantify the railway opportunity?
See, railway opportunity is quite open-ended. If you see in the machine component space, which is why we are so excited and I put that as number one, is that in a motor, there's a finite amount of lamination that you require. And we can only serve that requirement. At best, you know, in terms of adjacencies, we can touch the castings or shafts or forgings which are machined and go into the motor. In machine components, the entire field is open. In railways, I don't have the data offhand, but I'm pretty sure it must be in thousands of crores, tens of thousands of crores, the requirement of machine components alone in just railways. So
okay,
it's quite difficult to just put a number there.
Got it. Understood. That much is enough. And yes, sir, please go on.
And then third, I would say the overall capex cycle as a, you know, last one, because that's going to keep everything buoyant.
Okay, sir. All right. Got it. Thank you. So the next question, could we, if we were to just look, do the competition analysis of the entire sector that, you know, companies like us, I understand that there's a big unorganized market size. But within the organized, if we could give a little bit of color as to where we stand, like what percentage would we approximately be within the organized market of laminations, electrical laminations?
So unfortunately, there is no consolidated data of the size of the industry. EMA, which is the parent body for motors, they do collect certain data from their reporting members, as they call it. But there are so many motor manufacturers and large ones like that, which do not report the data. And then any other thing that goes into, say, renewable energy, power generation, mining oil and gas, all of those kind of things, or automotive, does not even come part of the EMA data. So the only way to, you know, kind of measure the industry size is through the consumption of electrical steel. That also has its own follies, because you do make motors, the inefficient ones and the unorganized segment, they make it from CRCA. So, you know, it can only be derived from the consumption of e-steel. So if I do that working, about 700,000 or 750,000 tons was the consumption of electrical steel in India last year, including imports. We consumed about 60,000 tons of steel. So from that, you know, empirically, we can say that about 8% is our market share in the organized segment.
Okay, sir. Perfect. Understood. Thank you, sir. So one last question. There are these new research articles that state that nickel iron alloys are highly innovative. I mean, I'm just reading it out. Highly innovative and intelligent solutions vis-a-vis electrical steel and are ideal substitutes for CRNO steel lamination. So I wanted to understand what your view is and what is the plan going forward.
For us, it makes no difference. We punch CRNO, we punch CRC, or we punch the nickel alloy. It actually doesn't make difference to us. It's the motor manufacturer that needs to decide what steel grade they want to use and accordingly change the configuration of their motor. So if you use, even in CRNO, if I could just give you as an illustration, there are probably 50 different grades of CRNO that we use at any given point of time. If you change the grade, you know, the copper content may change, or the aluminum content in the motor will change. The size may increase or decrease. The efficiency may go up. So there are a lot of those electrical engineering related queries and thoughts that the motor manufacturer needs to take into the design consideration and then tell us what they want.
So wouldn't make so a many, difference to us, even if they are demanding nickel iron. All right.
See, at max, the tooling will change, for which they'll have to compensate us, as most of the tooling is customer owned.
Okay, sir. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Rabindra Nath Nayak with Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up, sir. Sir, recently, Siemens has actually sold its motors business, low end motor business, to its own group entity, global group entity. So, whether it will have some impact on the uptake from Siemens side in the short term, or it is not going to?
See, it doesn't make a difference, because earlier, if you go way back in history, Large Drives was part of Siemens India. They hived it off and they separated it as a company. Now they have hived out the motors business to Large Drives. For us, operationally, it makes no difference.
Okay. Thank you. And about the, can you please give us every CRNO steel price for FY23 in the whole year?
Sorry, I couldn't catch the first part of your statement.
Average CRNO steel price.
So, for the full year, on an average basis, for one grade, I can give you, like I said, there are more than 20-30 different grades. If you take the cheapest grade, for the full year, the average was about 98,000 rupees per ton.
Okay, for the costlier grade?
For the costlier grade, it depends. The costliest grade can be as high as 2.5 lakh rupees a ton.
Okay. Fine. Thank you. Thank you very much. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Pulkit Singhal with Dalmus Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on a great set of annual numbers. I think this is now the second consecutive year of 19-20% ROEs and ROCs, which is a commendable job given the evolution of the company. First question is on this whole export opportunity, this railway modernization part that you talked about in North and South America. Can you help us understand the underlying drivers? Because I know there's certain CapEx cycle uptick and push happening in the U.S. So do you see this to be, I mean, driven more by that, supported by government and that major manufacturing push that they're happening? And what could be the size in terms of tonnage, like for their requirements annually? And what is the kind of market share that they have had and whether that's shifting towards the up or not? You know, just trying to get that sense of the opportunity.
Yeah. Thanks, Pulkit, for the good wishes. See, if you take the North American business, it is primarily driven by the infrastructure push by the government there, the capital spending that they are doing and incentivizing them to clean up the freight rail system. So we are talking of hybrid trains now, because in U.S., electrification of the railway is not really possible given the distances and the length of track. So they are moving to hybrid solutions, hydrogen-based locomotives. So all of those innovations are taking place there. At the same time, they have to modernize their fleet in terms of emissions as well as efficiency. So there are two overlaying cycles going concurrently, which is going to continue driving growth over the next 3 to 5 years.
And what is the size of, you know, what is that requirement annually that they have? And where do they source from? And how much is our share within that, typically?
So out of the North American rail business, as I understand it, Wabtec and EMD, Electromotive Diesel, Caterpillar companies, they are the two dominant players in the locomotive space there. EMD, I think, has about a 30-35% market share, and Wabtec has about a 65-70% market share. We supply only to Wabtec. We are not working with EMD as of now. And in Wabtec, I would say we have about a 80-85% market share of the products that we supply. In terms of the overall market that there is, from what I understand, there's about 20,000 to 22,000 locomotives installed base in U.S., which over the next 10 years will need to be entirely overhauled or upgraded.
Okay.
So,
And that pace was much lower in the last 5-7 years in terms of.
Yes.
I'm just.
Because the people were idling the locomotives, they're not really using it. And, so now they are going to start using it as well.
Oh, okay. And this fully, this EMD, we were not participating because we are aligned with Wabtec. Is that something restricting you from addressing that company?
EMD currently sources most of their products within North America, and most of the products they do the assemblies in-house. Wabtec has a more agile and distributed manufacturing base. So they have manufacturing setups in Mexico, India, couple of places in the U.S. which complement each other. So, you know, they can buy more value-added parts from far away and make a good business case out of it. EMD, I don't believe, is as agile or as spread out as Wabtec.
Right. And any case
They
that
buy
you could.
More locally.
Yeah. But for Wabtec also, is it possible for us to get into more, I mean, more than your current set of products that you're supplying? I'm just trying to see whether this whole China plus one angle is coming into play at some place, whether it be this North American opportunity or somewhere else. Are you seeing that play out in some manner?
For the machine components with Wabtec, we are growing significantly. In the last 2 years, we've already grown more than 25-30% per year on machine components with them. And we see that continuing in the future. And that is, again, in my opinion, driven by China plus one. They have not said it in as many words, but most of the current vendors were based out of China for those products.
Okay. Okay. Got it. And in your capacity expansion plans, I mean, while there's a current timeline, in case there is, you know, because these things are relatively unpredictable, it can get delayed or even faster. In case you have faster orders, are you able to kind of get, you know, prepone your plans as well, or they are pretty much set timelines?
We can prepone it by a couple of months, but looking at the current annual business plan, we don't see the need to do it. So we want to kind of conserve our cash as long as possible, rather than expending our cash flow.
Understood. Got it. Lastly, anything on the consolidation of opportunity that you think in India from this space, lamination space? Are you thinking about that or any plans there yet?
So in my opinion, in the long term, the industry, which is currently very fragmented, as you can see, we are just 8% of the market. and the next manufacturer of lamination should be probably half our size or even less than that. So the industry is ripe for consolidation. It's just that the owners of those businesses must want the consolidation. We are all for it if we get an opportunity.
Yeah, good. Great. Thank you and all the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Kaushal Kedia with Wolfort PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. No, my question got answered. Thank you.
Thank you. We move on to our next question, which is from the line of Atul Agarwal, an investor. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible. Please proceed.
Mr. Akshay, I want to congratulate you first.
Thank you.
And you are very young. My question is that do you have a vision for next 10 years or next 20 years? Because I mean, the electrical laminations and electrical motors have, seem to have very great future.
So, Atul,
even if it is at a drawing board stage.
See, in terms of a vision or aspiration, obviously all of us have that. We would like to, you know, emulate what the bigger manufacturers in Europe and US have done. If you see in those regions, in US there's only one player in E-Steel, and in Europe there are two or three giants such as Eurotransitura or Kienel and Spice or Temple Steel. So yes, we would like to, you know, consolidate the industry, grow to maybe a couple of 100,000 tons worth of E-Steel on the lamination side of the business. On the machine component side of the business, as I mentioned, that is the one place where we are most excited. So 650,000 machine hours is a stepping stone. You should look at doubling that over the next 4 or 5 years. Apart from that, you know, the motor, that is one place, you know, where we are very excited. We see opportunity going forward. As the business grows in India, our end customers would want to outsource the motor manufacturing as they have done in Europe or in China. So we see that, you know, we should become the integrated player for all motor-related business, whether it is component, it's lamination, it's shafts, or even, you know, ready-to-use motors with the customer's insignia stamped on the product. So that is, you know, kind of a vision or aspiration that we have in this particular business. To supplement this, you know, we would think that apart from the sheet metal and the machining that we have, we should have a foundry, we should have a forge shop, so we can provide a vertically integrated best cost solution to our customers. That's on the motor side. And then on the railway side, if you see, we are already quite a bit of the journey there, where from just laminations, now I would say that machine components by next year should be more than the lamination related business in railways. So, you know, if you take that as the business case as to how we have developed the railway side of the business, you would like to replicate that on the other end user segments.
That is great, and I think Vande Bharat will do a lot of good and publicity to this company. My next question is that we are already a 1,000 crore company in terms of sales. I mean, roughly, what do you expect our sales figure will be 10 years from now?
Sales will be from 10 years from now. See, again, on constant revenue terms, if the aspirational target, like I have said, a couple of 100,000, even if you take 150,000 metric ton, it should top maybe 7,000-8,000 crores, $1 billion plus.
That's great. Thank you so much.
It should. I mean, if we don't achieve that, then we have not done our jobs properly, right?
Yeah. I hope that you will be able to do better than this.
With your wishes, hopefully we also hope to do better than that.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Piyush Jain with Aquentin B. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, hi, sir. Congratulations on a great set of numbers.
Thank you.
I had one clarification. We were expecting an incentive of 30 crores, if I'm not wrong, for this year.
Yes.
Has any expectation changed in this regard?
No, it's not changed. It's just that the sanction letter from the state government has not been received. So as prudent accounting practice, we can only account it once the sanction letter is received by us. So it should go into quarter one of current fiscal.
But I also read an announcement from you recently on 20th May that said that the industry incentive for 7 years with an annual cap of 14.8 crores in terms of scheme.
So that is the first part of the overall Maharashtra factories incentive package. So if you have time, I'll just break it up into two parts. There's phase one and there's phase two. Phase one was a total of 180 crores. I'm just giving you round figures as I don't have the exact number in front of me, which we are eligible to receive over 7 years. The applicability of it comes from the date you put your equipment into use. So the first tranche was approved for 104 crores over 7 years. The remaining 80 crores was approved over the next 4 years. So that's how we get to 34 crores, of which 90% is distributed every year. That's how we come back down to about 30 crores. This is phase one. The first year of 34 crores, of 90% of which is distributed in per year, started last financial year. We are supposed to account it in last financial year due to a delay at state government to release the sanction letter for the second part. It will now happen in quarter one of current fiscal. Apart from this, the ongoing CapEx is also eligible for incentives, which will start in 3 years' time.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. As there are no further questions, ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of the question answer session. And on behalf of Petit Engineering, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining the call. For further queries or visiting the plant, please be in touch with Ramanaidu from Intellect PR on 9920209623. Thank you for joining us and have a wonderful day.